Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
You are there. Oh, good, good. All right, well, it's good to be here this evening, isn't it? And thank you for your prayers. And yeah, if you could be with us while we're traveling, I'll give you a bit of a brief itinerary of what we're doing. And it's quite amazing how the Lord worked it out. We plan to visit all of these churches. And in fact, I only spoke to Pastor last week on Sunday, what he thought about us going away again. And so I had only this week to plan the itinerary, and every single church fell into line. It was really quite amazing. I rung up one pastor for next Sunday night, the following Sunday, and he goes, "Oh, what a blessing. I wanted to get someone to fill in for me on that night too." So I just rung him up just in time, and there he was wanting to find somebody. And there we go, the Lord worked it out. So if you could pray for us, we are going down to Coffs Harbour. Yeah, we're nearly at Sydney. We may keep going. We don't know. So we are not getting our visas anytime soon. We still need to pay for things. And then even after we've paid for things, it could still leave. It's still a four-week-plus process. That's to even get our visa and then, you know, logistics, packing, leaving, everything like this. So we're not going anywhere anytime soon, just so you know. And you can stop asking me. Everyone asks me. I'm getting messages all the time, and that's why we're going on the road again. Our pastors are saying, "When are you going? We're going to cut your support, so pray for me." And so it's quite funny. Our pastor was going to fly us down to Brisbane, and that was all going to be fine, but that was just going to visit one church, but there's other people there we needed to see. And then we're going to visit Grandma, and Sarah says, "Grandma's halfway to Mackay, and Davo really wants to see us too." And, well, we're nearly at Mackay, we might as well. And then if we're at Mackay, we're at Tanham Sands, you know, and islands want to see us as well. And I'm going to Brisbane anyway, so we might as well just go. And so that's the way the Lord's worked it out. And then I was ringing different pastors, and we'll be going to Coffs Harbour. So pray for us as we go down. It is a long way there and back. Lots of driving and kilometres and accommodation and visiting and houses and preaching and pastors and people and everything like this. But praise the Lord. And I actually spoke to Kathy. Do you know Kathy? Remember Kathy Yalo from Papua New Guinea? She's actually down in Brisbane at the McGee's Church. We'll see her. So you can pray about... I spoke to her. Her dad died a few weeks ago in Kargu. And Papa Yalo, he was old. He was like 93 or 2 years old, and he had a good testimony, and he died with a good testimony. So pray for the Yairo family. They need lots of prayer in the family up there. And one of his sons, Stephen, when he was dying, Stephen is a lost man, and he gave to Stephen when he died, the old Papa Yairo, he gave him his Bible. And he's laying there on his bed dying, and he says, "I can't give anything else to you. I can only give you the Bible. You need to stay close to Peter. You need to stay close, and you need to walk with the Lord." And Kathy was telling me, and she was really crying on the phone when she spoke to me about her dad and this, and she said her brother just broke down and cried. He's been in and out of church and in and out of church, and he's a bit of a wild guy. So pray for him and the people there. And yeah, so that was good to talk to her. And yeah, so that's kind of what we're doing. And so pray for us. Leaving on Wednesday, we'll be at Ingham on Wednesday, we'll be at Mackay on Sunday, we'll be at Tanham Sands on Wednesday, we'll be at Brisbane 2 churches on Sunday, we'll be at Caloundra on Wednesday, Sunday we'll be Coffs Harbour and Grafton, and then maybe something after that. We'll see how we go, or we'll come back, we don't know. So just pray for us, please. And yeah, so that's what we're doing. So all right, let's open in prayer now, and we'll look into God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the time that you've given us to come together, that we can meet around your Word, for what you've done in our lives. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for sending your Son, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, what I was wanting to talk about tonight is adoption. Now, I remember my brother telling me that I was adopted once. Has anyone done that to their brothers? Anyone done it to their brothers? Is that you, that mean person? You're just adopted anyway. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about adopted into God's family, okay? And I don't think we fully appreciate what we have in that. So let's have a look. Go back to Exodus chapter 2. That's a bit of an obscure passage to be talking about adoption, but we're going to look at Moses. and how Moses was adopted into Pharaoh's family. And it's really quite an interesting story as I was praying and reading over this the last little while and how the Lord showed this. And Moses is a good picture of a Christian. We're not going to bestow any godly character traits onto Pharaoh's daughter or anything like this. But think about this situation. Ready? Let's read it. If you go back to chapter 1 and verse 15, I'll just read the first verse and we'll just talk about what's going on. Think about what's going on in Egypt at this time. The Israelites, they're oppressed by the Egyptians. And here in verse 15 it says, "And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shifra and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live." What a terrible place to be in at this time. All the male children that are born were to be killed. Throw them in the river, do what they needed to do, but they were worried about the Israelites taking and growing and multiplying in their country. You know, they're becoming a strong nation inside of Egypt, and they were putting more and more bondage onto them, and they were trying to kill them off. And so this is the situation that Moses' mum and dad, let's go down to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son." Whoa, that's a bit scary, isn't it? I'm sure everyone would have gone, "Oh no, Lord, give me a daughter. Oh no, Lord, give me a daughter." And that would have been a fearful thing. What are we going to do? And then if you read through the first chapter, the midwives, they didn't obey the king's command and they let some. But a lot of children would have been killed. Okay, a lot of children would have been killed. It's like, no, we got a son. What are we going to do? Are we going to hide him? You can't hide that you were pregnant and now you're not. You know, where'd your baby go kind of thing? Was it a boy or a girl? And so they're hiding it. And let's have a look in verse 2 says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's bank." I mean, what a desperate situation. That's a desperate situation. Verse 4, it says, "And the sister stood far off to wit what would be done to him." I don't know what the cultural practice was, whether, you know, how many people may have just put them in a boat and let them float down the river and maybe hopefully someone would find them downstream, or maybe they hid them in there and they'd come and check them. But there's little Moses, he wasn't called Moses at the time, there's this little baby boy. He's hidden in a box, in a little ark made out of bulrushes, sitting there in the river, in the water, hidden amongst the reeds. And there's Miriam standing over here watching what's going to happen to her little brother. What is going to happen? What a terrible place to be. What a terrible situation to be in. And here's this amazing situation here. You know, this is totally ordained of God, isn't it? When you think about it, let's read through this. Verse 5, it says, "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's bank. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Oh, you'd be feeling a little bit nervous now if you were Miriam, wouldn't you? What could this woman? This woman could have tipped that boat out, tipped the baby out into the river, let it sink and drown, take that baby, go and give it to the army officers or whatever, and let them do what they're going to do with this. They see it, so they know it's a Hebrew baby. They look different. It was obvious. It wasn't like, "Well, what's this random baby doing here?" It's a Hebrew baby. And no doubt she knew what was going on, that they were supposed to be killed. We don't know. The baby's at least, older than 3 months. We don't know how long it's been sitting there on and off and in and out of the days and everything. And so here's the Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter. She had compassion on this little baby. Here's a child that is destined for destruction. Think about that. That baby should have been killed. That baby should have been killed months ago. And this lady who came down, she had the authority to kill this child, and yet she had compassion on a child that was due for destruction. She should have killed her, probably. I don't know. Obviously, she got away with it with her dad or whatever. You know, I don't know what what he would think otherwise. But let's keep reading on down here and we'll look at this. And it's quite an amazing story, isn't it? And verse 7, it says, "Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" What an amazing situation. How strange would that be? If you were that woman, there's mothers here, what would you think? Okay, you've gotten to this desperate situation where you can't hide your baby anymore, so you've got it in a box, you've got it hiding in the river, and then your daughter comes back and says, "Mom, come here. You are not, Mom, I don't know how the kids said it. You're not going to believe what happened." You imagine that. "Mom, Pharaoh's daughter came down and she found the baby in the ark," and you'd be going, the mum's probably going, "and she killed it or tipped it out or did something like this. And she said she wants to pay you to nurse your baby and give it back to her when it's old enough so she can adopt it." Oh, you'd be kind of spun out a little bit, wouldn't you? How would you take that? You wouldn't know if she was telling the truth, or you've been standing out in the sun for too long or something like this. And so there is Moses' mother, gets her baby back, gets paid to look after him, paid to feed him for, I don't know how long, a few years, until he's weaned at least, and then given back, and he became her son. Look at that in verse 10. It says, "And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son." That's quite an extraordinary story, isn't it? When you think about that culture that's going on there, the Egyptians were to kill the children. Those Israelites were supposed to get killed. And this lady has compassion on a Hebrew baby. A baby that should have been killed, destined for destruction, is adopted into Pharaoh's family. Doesn't that amaze anybody else but me? That's amazing, isn't it? You know, that's like the ultimate rags to riches story, isn't it? Yeah, adopted into Pharaoh's family. This isn't even just some Egyptian, mediocre, working class Egyptian person. This is adopted into Pharaoh's household. Everything is at his disposal. Everything, he's got the education, he's got the money, he's got the house, he's got the friends, he's got family, he's got his dad's the Pharaoh, adopted dad. He has the full right to the royal family. Isn't that amazing? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and we'll have a look here at us being adopted. Okay, Moses was a child that was destined for destruction. He should have been killed. He couldn't do anything to become Pharaoh's daughter's child, did he? He was just a little baby, as old as little Paddy over there. He was 3 months old when they hit him. We don't know how much longer he'd been in the river, but you're looking at something pretty small like that. Okay, and he got adopted into God's family. He couldn't do anything. He was a child destined for destruction, and he got brought into the royal family. That is really amazing, isn't it? Let's have a look at Ephesians in chapter 1, and it talks about us. Now, us as Christians, we get adopted into God's family. Okay, Moses was adopted, a child, and I like saying this, destined for destruction. It's like a Christian, it's like an unsaved person. Before we're saved, we are a child of hell. We are a child destined for destruction until we get saved, and then we get adopted into God's family. We get adopted into God's family, and when Moses went into Pharaoh's family, he had access to everything. Everything was on hand. He wasn't a Hebrew child. He wasn't treated like a Hebrew. He was educated. He was schooled. He had all of that at his disposal. And that's like us when we get saved and we get adopted into God's family. Let's just look at verse 5. It says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ." We are adopted into God's family. Adopted into God's family. Isn't that amazing that you would be adopted into God's family? Now, we think the Pharaoh was pretty powerful. You look back through history, Pharaohs were pretty powerful. Nebuchadnezzar was pretty powerful. You know, those conquering world army things, they were pretty powerful people. The Egyptians were powerful. They had the whole nation of Israel using them as slaves to build all their buildings and do all their work and to oppress them. And here is these adopted into that family. And we have God as our Heavenly Father, who has far more power than anybody on this earth, who has far more power than any nation, any army or anything. He can speak and brings things into being. Isn't that amazing? God said, and God said, and He is our adoptive Father. Look what it says. And having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, we are adopted into God's family. We are adopted into God's family. We have full access to the Lord. I don't think we fully appreciate what we've actually got there. We don't fully appreciate what we can, what we have access to in the Lord, do we? We always look at, in Hebrews it says God chastens the ones that He loves, and well, we're in God's family, and so God's chastening us, and we always expect the chastenings, and yeah, I'm getting chastened of the Lord. It's like, yeah, you should be chastened. You're a child of God, and I'm being chastened because, and we expect all this chastening from the Lord, don't we? Because we're children of God, and we should get disciplined by our God, but we don't then want to go and ask for any blessing from Him, do we? Yeah, but we're too scared to. Or we don't think He will give it to us. I think that's what it is, isn't it? You ask and you don't have because you don't believe. We have the full power of God behind us. We have Him. We can access God. Just like Moses, well, I don't know, he might not have been able to go into Pharaoh, but he had all the resources of Egypt at his hand. He had it all there. It was all available. So let's have a look at a few verses here about what God has done for us and how we can actually go to Him. Okay, so Moses was adopted. We're adopted. Hey, good picture of a Christian, isn't it? Let's have a look. Go into 1 John. Have a look over into 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Behold, what manner of love. There's a song about that verse, isn't there? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He has given us this love. He's had compassion on us, and He has loved us, and He's given us this love so much that we can be called the sons of God. Hey, isn't that special what the Lord has done? He calls us the sons of God. Why? Why? Because I'm good? Because I done something? Because I pleased God? No, I didn't do anything. God saved me. I can't do anything. God did it all. God sent His Son to die for us. And because I trusted in Him and what He's done for us, I have gone from a child destined to destruction. Actually, have a look at how much that is. Go to John chapter 3 and verse 36. That's a good verse, this one. It's a good one in Pidgin too. No, speaking in tongues, I'll be in trouble. John 3:36, and this is where we were, how we were destined for destruction when we're outside of God's family, but inside it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's scary. That's a scary thought. If you are outside of Christ, if you don't believe on Jesus, if you don't believe on the Son of God, then that's you. Who wants the wrath of God on your head? Who wants to be marked for that judgment when it comes? Or doesn't that scare you? It scares me. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Compare that to the verse that we're looking at in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Which would you rather be? Which side would you rather be on? Would you rather be called the sons of God, adopted fully into God's family, pulled out of a desperate and hopeless state that you're in, that you can't get yourself out of. You can't get yourself out of this, but God sees you and has compassion on you and gives you an opportunity and gives you a way out and gives you a way of escape, escaping God's judgment. And you either have the wrath of God abiding in you, because God looks at us like an enemy and he says, my wrath is on you, enemy. You are destined for destruction, but if you believe on me, you can become my child. What a contrast. What a contrast there. It's the death from life, the darkness to light, isn't it? It's unsaved to saved. It's destined for destruction. It's having God's Holy Spirit living in us and being adopted into his family. And when we're adopted, we don't then need to fear God. If you're unsaved and you don't know where you stand with God and God's wrath abides on you and you're looking at God, it's going to be a terrible day in the day of judgment. But if you are a child of God, he says, child, come home. Child, come home. Have a look at this. Go to John chapter 1 and verse 12. We're going to jump around at a couple of verses here. John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, but many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave us that. He's welcomed us into his family. And we have full access. That's a quick verse. Go over it. Ready? Move over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. You know, as the adopted children of God, we can go to him. You know, we sing all of these songs and we tell it to Jesus and all the other songs that we sing. But quite often we don't, do we? We don't often go to the Lord with all of our problems. We carry him along. There's a good illustration. I should have done it today. And you get two people and you get a bucket and you fill it with rocks and it's really heavy and you slide it down to the other end and you're like, oh, it's so heavy, and you're carrying this thing. And then a picture of me carrying my burden, and then a picture is here, God, and he's holding the other end of the stick, and you slide this bucket way to the other side and says, God says, I'll take it, and then it's suddenly light. It's still there. It's still being carried. And quite often we keep our weight over here and we're carrying it along going, yeah, Lord, thanks for helping me. But we don't actually go and give it to God, do you? And then when you go, it's still me and God, we're still holding this thing, we're still holding this thing. But he's got the load, and he's carrying it, and I've given it to you. So here it is, Lord, I don't want it anymore. You have it. We hold on to it, and we go, Lord, I don't want to carry this. Lord, I don't want to hold this. Lord, please take it away from me. But we hold on to it, and we never actually let it go, and we hold on to these burdens that we don't need to. And have a look at this verse here in Galatians. In verse 6 it says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We can go to the Lord. We can freely go. We freely have access to the Lord, and we can bring our petitions to him, and we can ask him for things, and we can give him the things that we're struggling with. And go and have a look into Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And this is a real great verse and really encouraging. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And this is what, I don't know about you, I'm saying we don't do these things, it might be just me. I'll just say I said, I don't do these things. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, Lord, we're in always such a time that we need help, and we're in such a time of need, and I'm holding on to this load, but we can go boldly unto the throne of grace. We can, with confidence, go to the throne of grace. Isn't that a great thing? Because if you're over here and you're destined for destruction, all you're going to see is God and God's judgment. But as God's children adopted into his family, we have all of him, we have all of his resources, we have all of his love, we have all of his mercy. Look what it says. It says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. We can get the mercy from the Lord, and we can find grace to help in time of need. God, we need grace. Help help me. I'm struggling. I need help at this time. And so often we don't look to God, or we don't ask. Oh, I'm not saying we. I've got to stop saying we. I'm just going to say I. And I don't go to God and I don't ask him. And I don't know, maybe it's because I don't expect him to give it to me, but he will. But he's just sitting there. And you watch your kids. I've done it to my kids too. It's really quite funny. Sorry, boys. I don't mean this at all. Don't take it personally. And you watch them struggle. And you're just like, are you going to ask or not? Just ask, okay? And we sit there and we're struggling. And I'm sure I've done it at work too, you know, when you're struggling or you're trying to pull something apart or you're trying to make something, you don't know what you're doing. And you're sitting there and you're flustered and you're trying to get it. And God's just sitting up there and he's just going like, why don't you ask me? Why not ask? Do you think God doesn't know how to work computers? Man, he gave people enough information to build these things. I think he knows how they work. Even cars, even locks. He knows how locks work. He probably stuck his finger in there at the same time as your little pick. Hey, God does things. He's good. He can do that. It's nothing for God. He doesn't even need to stick his finger in there. He just makes it work. Prison doors opened for poor Peter, didn't he, as he walked towards him. He didn't even have a guy picking the locks. And we sit there and we struggle away and we don't ask. And I'm sure God just sits there saying, how long is this going to take? You've been at it for a few days now. You've been at it a few months now. And we sit here and we're going, oh, Lord, I need your help. And God's just going, you haven't asked? You know? And we I don't know, why are we afraid, or do we think, or we don't believe it? It says, look at this verse. It's a good memory verse. We should memorize it. So let us therefore come boldly. That's with confidence. We don't need to. I don't know. I've walked into offices of people before. You know, the big boss in your job's like, Chris Dagan to the office. Chris Dagan. And everyone's like, oh, you're going to get the sack, you're done for now. Because I know I messed up something or something. And it's like, oh, you know. And I know I'm not about to get a pay rise. You know. And you're timid and you're nervous and you don't know what's going on. But it's not like that with God, because he says you can come boldly. You know, we can walk in and we can go. We don't even need to wait to be invited. We can just go, God, can you help me? And God will say, finally, you've come. You know, I've been sitting here for all of this time. You're adopted. You're part of my family. I've been waiting for you to come. And it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. We can come to God, obviously, humbly. And obviously, we need to pray and give God adoration and stuff. And we need to come to God humbly, asking him for help. And he'll give it to us. He will give us the help that we need. He'll give us mercy. He'll give us grace. And we always say, Lord, give us traveling mercies. Or, Lord, give us, help me to be gracious and all of these kind of stuff. And he will. Hey, isn't that good? He doesn't turn around. I love that. Don't hold this one against me. But, you know, when, you know, he says, oh, if a son comes and asks for a piece of bread, are you going to give him a scorpion? You know, if you who are people can give good things to your kids, how much better can I give to you? Now, that's basically what he's saying. If you're not going to give your fish, if you can give your kids good things, and you're a person, you can give your, how much better things can I give you? Let's go back to Ephesians. I've been studying Ephesians chapter 1. You might be able to tell this. But what we've got in Christ, we don't fully appreciate it. We just kind of take it for granted or don't really believe it or whatever. But like what I'm saying here, it says if we can give our good things, how much better things can our Lord give us? Let's just go back. Oh, let's go to verse 1. Let's just read Ephesians 1, verse 1 down to verse 5 again. Well, we'll probably stop at verse 3 actually. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the verse I want to look at here. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So you reckon you can give your kids good things? I can give you better. You know, every good gift comes from above. That's what it says, doesn't it? So as his children in Christ, we have these things available to us. We have the Lord available to us. We can go boldly to the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of God. We don't have to struggle and fuss and you know, I've done it. I've done it too. You know, you're at work and I've been at work and I'm just going, oh, Lord, how do I fix this? And you pray and the Lord helps you. He shows you. He gives you wisdom in how to do it. And he shows you what to do. And it's like, well, that was easy. Thank you, Lord. He gives wisdom. He gives grace. He gives mercy. In the time of need, we just need to go and ask him. As his adopted child, we don't need to sit over here and fear God, but as his adopted children and in God's family, we have him. We can go boldly to the throne. We can go to God and ask for help. We can go and give him all of our burdens, and we can give it all to the Lord. And he helps us through. He does. He helps us through. And praise the Lord for what he's done for us, and we wouldn't be able to do it except through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what it says. It says the faithful in Christ, and it says here, it says grace in verse 2, it says grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't it good what the Lord has done for us? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for what we have in you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Son, for giving us eternal life, but also giving us the help that we need to get through this life and this time here, Lord. We just pray that you help us to look to you all the time and in all things. And we do pray for us as we go away and travel, Lord. Keep us safe. Watch over us as we go there and back. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.